amazing how an NFL season or a college season, especially just in football in general, the theme of the show or the conversation or whatever it is can just change so often throughout the course of the season. That's like, I'm not one of those guys that's like, you know, unless it's Tanner, then I like to go at him on that side. But if you're one of those guys that was all in this way or all in that way or whatever, I've covered too many of these seasons, man. I've watched football my entire life. I know how things can change and opinions can change and the topic of discussions can change. And this is what's so crazy to me with this Broncos team is they put themselves in a conversation changing position. You know, 4 weeks ago, after just losing to Kansas City 19-8, it was a competitive game and you thought, well, they were tough, but yeah, it's Chiefs were playing with their food a bit. And that was the Broncos' fifth loss, and they were 1-5, barely beating the Chicago Bears. And it took a comeback effort to beat the Bears, 31-28. Then they lose to the Jets by 10. They lose to the Chiefs. 1-5. I was all about, like, maybe you should tank. Maybe you should trade off guys like Jerry Jeudy and some other decent. Maybe you at least have the conversation of see what you can get for a Pat Surtain. But then you beat the Packers. And we said, I remember, we said after the Packers game, the Chiefs game would be a franchise-changing game, meaning that if you just lost the Chiefs like you were supposed to, you'd probably, because that was right before the trade deadline, you probably would go in fire sale mode. You probably would trade a lot of guys, start to acquire draft picks. I don't know if they actually would have. I'm not sure. I don't know that for sure. But it sure seems like you would have, because that would have been right before the bye. You were then at 2-6, and the idea at the time of going to Buffalo and winning, hosting Minnesota, would be difficult. All those things were up in the air. But you beat the Chiefs. You broke the streak. You shocked everybody. Then you go on your bye week. Nothing really happens. And you beat the Bills. And, of course, last night you beat the Minnesota Vikings 21-20. And now look at this, Angel. On the other side of things, look what's happening with Caleb Williams. I mean, suddenly we're talking about Caleb Williams in a much different light than we were 5 weeks ago. You know, I know I joked about the crying thing and all that, and him saying he just wanted to go home and snuggle his dogs and all that stuff. Well, and then before that, you had he wants to be choosy where he gets drafted. If he doesn't like where he's going to go, he'll just come back to college, or he'll go back to college. And then you had he's looking into ownership rights for whoever the team he goes to. So all those things started to stack up, and you go, maybe Caleb Williams isn't the guy. Still probably going to go number one, though, right?
Maybe. This could also affect his draft stock enough to where maybe the Broncos can get him in the late teens, 20s.
Would you want him at this stage?
I don't know. Sean Payton could see himself as, I can coach that out of him.
I don't know.
I could put him on the bench for a year, let him humble himself.
You think he would drop to the teens? I don't.
I mean, Lamar Jackson went 32.
Yeah.
He won the Heisman. So.
Was Lamar ever touted as being like a top five, though? Did you ever think at one point he might be a top five?
Top five talent, for sure. Obviously, winning the Heisman Trophy, you know, his college game was really kind of just him and... It's just him. So, you know, the fact that I think it was still a surprise that he dropped all the way down to the 32, but I think maybe he was probably projected around the teens or so.
Yeah.
He was definitely top five in his class.
Well, they've lost five out of their last six games, USC. You've got controversy, you know, 38-20 to UCLA, 36-27 to Oregon, and of course, that crazy Washington game, which he was still playing. He was like at a superstar level in that Washington game. That was back and forth. Two great teams. And, you know, you're not able to get it done. Then you have the jumping into the stands, crying into his mother's arms. Then he refuses to talk to the media after the UCLA loss. Doesn't want to go talk to anybody. kind of over it at that point. Do you think that that's another gigantic red flag for Caleb Williams?
It's maybe a minor red flag at this point.
Well, you're getting a lot of like the national guys comparing him to, well, if Joe Burrow's out for the season or he had a bad, they're expected to go talk to it. You're going to have to get over that. And then people go to defense and say, well, he's a college kid. And then the counter argument to that is he's not a kid. He's getting paid millions of dollars. He's not a kid. He's getting paid now to represent USC. That's the tough part. There are certainly some flags that we've seen that really started at the beginning of the season, though. When you talk about, well, his dad came out and said if he doesn't like the team he's going to, he will just stay back another year. College fans love that. Yeah, stay in school another year and for the brand and all that stuff. Because we're always hearing that college fans want to see it's pure and all that stuff. Stay in it and play as long as you can. But then the other side was saying, you know, that's I don't really like that. You know, you're going to choose, try to dictate where you go. That's not really how we do things here. Although we've seen examples of that well before NIL and transfer portal stuff and talks of college football.
I mean, this is, you know, NIL is still fairly young in the college football or college sports. So this is kind of like that first generation of kids that everyone's on iPads and social media. They're going to be a little different than how I was raised or how you were raised. And so now you're seeing this NIL generation. Is there a sense of entitlement? Is there a sense of...
I've arrived already.
I've arrived. I'm making all this money. Therefore, I'm good. I'm at this big university. Therefore, I should be top billing for everything. But that's not to say he's not talented. And he's
no.
An incredible prospect.
Watch him play. Does he pass the eye test? And if you're watching a USC game, now I know it's college versus the pros, but tell me that you don't think that the ceiling is higher for Caleb Williams than where it is for Russell Wilson today. Now, again, it's a complex conversation because we're talking about Russ playing against NFL defenses and Caleb would have a lot to learn. And Russ certainly looked like one of those good quarterbacks back in his day. It was a late pick and all that stuff, but still ended up being a great quarterback. So if he drops, yeah, I mean, it'd be worth having that conversation of does he go later than he's expected to go? Do people trade back and not care about that pick as much? And if he falls, I don't see it, though. I would imagine who's the worst team in the NFL right now? Who has?
Chicago still. Oh, because of Carolina.
That's an interesting one.
So then you have, do we move?
Do we do it again?
Justin Fields? Do we fire Eberflus?
Mm-hmm. Probably will.
Change GMs? Do you just start all over? I think, you know, for him, and we've seen this in the NFL, for these young quarterbacks, system and coach is a really important factor. You look at just Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud this year. Bryce was number one, but he's not having a great year. C.J. Stroud was number two. Yeah, it's still high, but he is exceeding his expectations.
Oh, no question. D'Amico Ryans, too, man. My goodness, what a coach. What a coach. I just think it's just this weird thing, man. The NFL season, the college season, it takes its toll. Hardly anything goes how you think it's going to go, except for some teams. The Washingtons, Alabama's ending up going to be pretty close. Yeah, going to be close.
It's going to be close.
Where are they right now? Seven?
Still eight.
Eight? But still, nothing's... If they do miss, they're going to miss by a game, a team or two or three or whatever, mm-hmm. a spot. But most of the time, man, these seasons just take their toll. And, for example, with the Broncos and the Caleb Williams thing, that was all the rage 5 weeks ago, was keep tanking so you can get Caleb Williams, and then what does the future hold for Russell Wilson? Well, now you're 5-5. Sean Payton is clearly showing that after that, at least proven after that Kansas City game, there was no intention of tanking, that he believed they could win now, and they're going to try to win now, therefore meaning Russell Wilson seems to be his guy. They want to go that route for the next however many years, even though it looks very difficult at times. It's not going to be easy. Sean Payton wants to get back to the Hall of Fame conversation. So does Russ. Is this getting them there? Well, yeah, you go do the unthinkable and get in the playoffs and maybe even win the Super Bowl this year. Then, yeah, they're both in there.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a question, regardless of how the season goes. You know, what is the future of Russ? Does Sean want Does he want his own guy to mold and reshape and, you know, kind of say, hey, I didn't need Drew Brees and Russell Wilson to be a good coach. I can still be a good coach. Or does he go, hey, you know, give me another veteran. Go give me a guy that's on his, looking for his third contract.
When you have made a lot of money at this level, you've achieved greatness already. The most greatness you could ever achieve while playing and coaching is winning a Super Bowl. Obviously, the Hall of Fame is outside of your career. But Sean Payton has achieved all that. This is when your ego has room to grow and step in, where it's, I'm not just concerned about getting there anymore. I've been there, I've won it, even though it's just one. But I was competitive for a long time. Now it is about proving a lot of people wrong. There is some kind of gigantic victory in that, proving everybody wrong. Oh, you thought Russ was broken? He hadn't had Sean Payton coach him, which is both good and bad. That's great. It's what you want if you're a Broncos fan. I want a little arrogance. I want that coming in. But you want to see how far that goes. Does Sean Payton keep going that road? Because even though RG3 and all these national sports guys are coming out, and even Denver guys, they're wanting the apology letters, and they're saying put some respect on Russell's name. And I'm never saying put disrespect on Russ's name, but as far as talking as if he is back to where he was in his heyday with Seattle, you're not watching the games. You're just not seeing it. You're not watching game. You're not charting this thing out. Like, honestly, like I was doing last night. I've got the full first half and the second half charted up here in highlights and written words and paragraphs of things going on in these games, of things I'm catching and what happened on each possession. And if you do that, you're not going to walk away going, Russ is cooking. You're going to walk away going, he's a game manager at best, but has about 4 to 5 wow moments.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. It's the perception and the narrative of the season has changed. It's not, oh, we're scrapping to get back to 500. Now it's even playing field for at this point forward, mm-hmm. and every game from here on out matters, and you're not going to judge the whole season by it, but you've hit this point in the season where it's almost halfway, but you're like, okay, that was the first half. What are we going to be in the second half?
Now you have the Browns at home. Probably should be a win now if you're just looking at this the way, yeah, I know the Browns are 7-3, but I like DTR, but I'm not going to be if I'm a Browns fan, I'm not thinking, yeah, this guy's going to take over. We don't need Deshaun.
I don't think this is shaping up to be an offensive shootout.
I don't think so either. So I would say the Broncos defensively do enough, and then I like Russ in this game. So you're 6-5. You're probably going to be 6-5 going up against now suddenly a difficult Houston Texans team.
How much credit do you give for, I know they're technically starters, but guys that weren't starters for their teams to start the year? That have had 2-3 weeks to get into a system. Like, I think we saw with Josh Dobbs last night, that was his first game where he really just got off script or, you know, oh, I've had 3 good weeks of practice, I feel good, and oh, everything just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
DTR, it's, hey, we rallied to get a win. Were they at home? Or on the road against Pittsburgh?
I think they were at home.
Okay. So then that's momentum, home crowd. You're feeling good. The team's rallying around you. The defense is playing good. It's easy to get those kind of heartfelt wins. Now the challenge for Cleveland is, can you go on the road and keep that momentum against a team that's hot right now?
Yeah, and I like DTR. I loved watching him at UCLA. And this is where I'm an idiot when it comes to this. Like, I would have thought his game translates to the NFL. Why? He wasn't taken. When was he drafted? He wasn't drafted high at all, was he? So I look at a guy like that, and I think he could make it. But now, obviously, he's kind of just a guy that's now getting an opportunity in the league. And I do think that, you know, he's going to be so – he's gritty. He's fun to watch. He was fifth round?
Fifth round.
So, like, I would have thought, watching him all those years at UCLA, I like his demeanor. I don't know what it is, but he has a Jalen Hurts demeanor. He just never phases. He's never too up. He's never too low. He's just straightforward. I thought that would translate. Well, I saw this guy take some hits, and he would just keep getting up. His face never changed. All business. I'd see him throw a touchdown at UCLA. Face never changed. All business. And I think that there's a time and a place for a guy like that. So I love this dude. Like, I am a big Dorian Thompson-Robinson fan. Big time. But now that we know what we know and what the NFL sees of him, is he going to be a quarterback that really just can take it to that next level? I don't know. So I would imagine Denver handles it this week. And then I'm going to be rooting for Dorian Thompson the rest of the way, as long as he does not interfere with the Broncos' playoff shot. Because that's what we're going to talk about next. 21
they are
minutes.
They're first in their division right now.
Yes.
So they're playing for something.
Oh, and that's why I think you're actually catching them, strangely enough, you're catching the Browns at a pretty good time, Angel, because they are 7-3. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. This game does not have... Last night felt like a little bit of a playoff game. Now, I don't think Minnesota's out just yet, but with Dobbs and an uncertain situation there, you do wonder how big that game will...
They don't have the receivers
either. Yeah, well, and I think they're going to be pushing to get Justin Jefferson back this next week. I was told that they were really trying to get him on the field this week.
I thought he was already back.
I
thought this was the week he would be back.
He was supposed to be, and a lot of the guys that were studying this game coming up, or that game last night, that were insiders, saying that they were probably going to activate him, but then they said, let's go one more week. We heard Collinsworth on the call last night saying, well, if they somehow pull this off... They have an easier game coming up next week, I believe. I don't know who they're playing. The Bears? Oh, yeah, it's the Bears. It's Monday Night Football.
Yeah, against an AFC opponent. It doesn't really affect your playoff standings.
Yeah. So they might even rest him for the Bears game, but now I think they're going to push to get Justin Jefferson back. So anyway, that game last night had a big feel to it. Cleveland is in a position where, you know, they're 7-3. They're on the road at the Broncos and at the Rams. They have the Jaguars, Bears, Texans, Jets, Bengals. There's got to be three more wins there. You know, there's got to be 10 wins there. You're not feeling the pressure. Is 10 wins going to get you in? Maybe.
It's going to be tight.
It's going to be tight, but they should be. I mean.
I think right now with the 17 playoff, 10 wins is you might get left out. 11 is probably your target number.
Yeah. And, I mean, you look at who they have to play. You know, Jacksonville's going to be difficult for them. Houston's going to be difficult for them. But they got the Jets there, and I don't think the Jets are going to do enough to make sense of Aaron Rodgers coming back this year.
Right.
I don't think so. The Bears, you should win. The Bengals now,
yikes.
That should be a win. So there's three. That's going to get you to 10. Can you beat, you know, I'm talking about Cleveland here. Can you beat another team? You know, is it, you got a Rams team that's 4-6. You might be able to win that game. So my point is, I don't think the urgency is there for the Browns. Plus, the game plan going in was Deshaun Watson, and now it's not. So a lot of things bode well for Denver this weekend. All right, let's look at the playoffs. Oh, go ahead.
Game?
I don't think so. I don't think the Broncos are there. I don't think they're good enough to view anything as a trap game. I think that they'll probably play this game just like they've played the last four. I think you're going to see turnovers. I think you're going to see field goals. And eventually you're probably going to see a miracle. You're going to need to see some kind of miraculous play by Russell Wilson to a guy like Sutton or Jerry Jeudy or even an Adam Trautman who had some big play capabilities last night. 24 minutes after the hour, let's take a look at the NFL standings when it comes to the playoffs and just where the Broncos sit, who they need to lose, all that and more. Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
November, a time of thanks. We're thankful for you, Northern Colorado.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, we're recharging it, Angel. We're recharging the playoff watch for the Denver Broncos. That's what happens. You're making believers out of all of us. Slowly but surely, first four-game winning streak since 2016. A guy by the name of Gary Kubiak was the head coach. So here's where we sit. We all know how many teams get in the playoffs now, right? Seven in the AFC.
Six plus one.
There we go. Kansas City, probably even if they lose tonight, that might be a tough one to catch, although you'd only be two games behind and you'd split. Baltimore sitting at 2 at 8-3. Jacksonville 7-3. Your Miami Dolphins, Angel, are 7-3. They beat the Raiders over the weekend. The Cleveland Browns like we said, found a way. They're 7-3. Not out of the realm of possibility, but I'm not focusing on those teams just yet. Although you beat Cleveland, you take care of a few things there. The Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans.
Three-game win streak,
man. They are 6-4, sitting at 6th. Next is the Pittsburgh Steelers, somehow, someway. They are at 6-4 as well. Buffalo's on the outside looking in. Can you believe it? The Indianapolis Colts are on the outside looking in. And now the Denver Broncos. Who's beneath them? The Bengals? Well, without Burrow, going to be difficult for Cincinnati. Weird story there. We'll get into that. Vegas, 5-6. Thank you, Miami. Chargers, thank you, Brandon Staley, for just being you, man. You keep calling those plays.
Don't you sign him to an extension?
Yeah, why don't you keep doing defensive coordinating there? You get mad at reporters for asking you if there's going to be a change. No, you're good. Yeah, don't even consider that. You're fine. So I'm not, the team's below him. We'll see how that goes. Broncos still have the Chargers coming up and another game against the Raiders. So, what needs to happen? You look at the Colts, the Bills, who you beat. You have the tiebreaker over the Bills, but they have more wins because they haven't had their bye yet. The Colts, the Bills, and the Steelers. So here's what we're rooting for this week, Angel, if you're a Denver Broncos fan. Thursday's not going to help us out at all. Those are all NFC games. Packers-Lions, Commanders-Cowboys, 49ers-Seahawks. I will get all those right, by the way. You're welcome. Friday, why don't your Dolphins just go ahead and take care of the Jets and knock them out for good? That would keep us out of the Aaron Rodgers thing, and that'd be over.
Get rid of that tiebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to try our best.
Try your best. Get them out of there. You need it. They'd be 4-7. So knock that one out the door. Obviously, you need the Broncos to beat the Browns. Duh. Got to win that one. They are 2.5-point favorites early right now. The Broncos are. Steelers, Bengals. Pittsburgh in Cincinnati without Joe Burrow is a 1-point favorite in that game. Ideally, you want the Bengals to pull off an upset and beat Pittsburgh.
Have they announced the backup yet?
I have not seen who the backup is yet. But ideally, you need the Steelers to lose some games. That's where we are now, which I think will happen.
Either Jake Browning or XFL superstar A.J. McCarron.
I think it's going to be Jake Browning. We'll see. Jake Browning. Is that a Washington dude?
I believe so.
Well, Washington guy.
McCarron's got the history with
him. He does, yes. I loved him for a moment there. Him and Brock Osweiler had an epic battle on a Monday Night Football game years ago. So you're rooting for Browning or McCarron to pull off a win and upset the Steelers. Now, the Bengals would then be 6-5, but you'd rather have everybody jumbled up in the 5 loss so you're not rooting for 2 weeks of losses and such. Panthers, Titans, nothing to worry about there. Titans should be done. Panthers, go ahead and get your second win of the season. Knock them out. Get them out of there. Here's a big one. Buccaneers, Colts, Gardner Minshew, Baker Mayfield. Are they the same guy, but one has a mustache and the other just had more of a famous college career? They almost look the same. Put the mustache on Baker Mayfield and the hair. That is Gardner Minshew. Or shave the mustache, cut the hair. That is Baker Mayfield. I don't care who it is. I'm rooting for Baker. I normally don't. To get to 5-6 and knock off the Indianapolis Colts. Because they are 5-5. You need them to lose.
I think the biggest thing to look at in the AFC standings right now is the status of the AFC South.
Yes.
Jags at 3.
Yes.
Houston there at 6, but they play each other this weekend.
Boom. That's a huge one.
The Texans still also have to play the Titans twice and the Colts. Realistic shot they could win that division, and if Jacksonville stays hot, they're going to get a wild card spot.
So you're rooting for Jacksonville to just put Houston at 6-5, and then you would play them the next week, and that game would be absolutely epic.
And the Jaguars have beaten the Colts twice, and they've already lost to the Texans, and they beat the Titans. So they're 2-2 in their division, or 1-3 in the division, whatever. But that's a big game.
Denver needs to beat the Browns. Jacksonville needs to beat Houston. Then that game at Houston on December 3rd becomes another playoff game type feel. So that's what you need. You need the Colts to drop one. It'd be great if the Steelers did. You need the Texans to lose. And then you'll be hopefully winning and taking care of the Browns as well. It is possible, Angel. It is very possible. But it has to be now. You can't drop this one to Cleveland. Suddenly all that hype and talk, you put yourself back behind. You win against Cleveland. You got to think at least Houston, one of the four is going to lose. Buffalo doesn't play this weekend, right? They're off.
I don't think so.
So you're not worried about Buffalo yet. You got one of the three, Houston, Pittsburgh, or the Colts.
No, Buffalo should play because they've already had their bye.
They have had their bye. They're six and five.
Didn't they play an international game? Yeah. They would have had a bye after that.
I thought they didn't have their bye yet, but I could be wrong.
No, they play. They're at the Eagles.
Okay. Well, that's like a... Their bye week is week 13. So they're at Philadelphia. They should lose that game. So you got to think of those three teams that you need to lose this weekend. Houston, Pittsburgh, Indy. One of them's going to lose. And then you beat Cleveland. You get a little bit closer. Clear up that picture. Pay attention to that Houston-Jacksonville game, though. That is monumental. So there it is. The playoff watch. The Broncos are very much in the mix. After 10 games, after starting the season at 1-5, somehow, some way, your Denver Broncos have a realistic shot and a realistic path into the playoffs. 37 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Looking to get CDL training? Check out our friends at TrueSafetyServices.com and use KFKA10 for 10% off your first class. True Safety Services offer classes for you to get your CDL. Maybe you thought about it. You thought of what that life might look like and having that in your back pocket. Check out TrueSafetyServices.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. It's here we are doing the playoff watch. I laughed at Brian and Tanner last week. While I laughed, Angel, I didn't necessarily think at the time, even when I was talking about it, that the Broncos would lose to Minnesota. So I guess I shouldn't have laughed because knowing that they were going to win, thinking they were going to win, would put us in that conversation of actual playoffs. Now, all that can change if they lose to Cleveland on Sunday, which would be a very disappointing loss for the Broncos. But right now, enjoy it for the week because we are ramping up that playoff discussion.
Here's just the percentages here for the Broncos. They are less than 1% to win the Super Bowl, less than 1% to get a first-round bye, 1% to win the division, 21% to make the playoffs.
21%? I wonder what it was last week. It wasn't very great. It's just obviously slightly been going up, but the belief is coming in. The belief is starting to pour in. Now, there's a lot of hurdles to get over. You can't simply just win out. You need other teams to lose. But there's seven games for most teams remaining here where there's a lot that can happen. You know, Denver has the tiebreaker over Cincinnati on best win percentage in conference games. So beating Cleveland would also help that, further that along, too.
If you lose to Cleveland, it goes down to 15%.
Mm-hmm.
Say you beat Cleveland and you lose to Houston, it's going to calculate here 19%.
What about if you just beat Cleveland and beat Houston? We're going to go 35%, 40%? Maybe? Believe?
56.
Oh, wow. You win the next two games and you got a shot, folks. You're realistically there. A lot can happen. Tanner talked about it this morning on Good Morning NoCo about how coaching matters, and it does. And Sean Payton has been a big difference maker because he's not doing the things that Nathaniel Hackett did. But, Angel, if Russ and Cortland Sutton don't find a way to connect on some crazy plays, what, really, in the last three games? Kansas City, didn't he have the one-handed touchdown, too?
Yeah, I mean,
plays you don't really draw up.
I think Sutton's been kind of carrying the load on those touchdowns, you know, maybe 65, 45, whatever that percentage
Russ
is.
Russ just checking it up, man.
Yeah. And
get it in the vicinity.
He's a half second away from getting the ball swatted at his elbow or something against Minnesota. So you know, there is luck in the NFL. It exists. Momentum, all that stuff, it goes on. But better player gets the ball.
Yeah, that momentum, that luck usually does tend to happen when you've got the team playing better at that point. They're getting the breaks. They're forcing the turnovers. You know, Samaje Perine fumbles the ball on that final drive, and it rolls out of bounds. It just so happened to be right where he was, fumbles the ball, and it hits the out-of-bounds line. And the Vikings player tries to recover it, and it's already out. So that would have ultimately been the game. I mean, that was the final drive there. All Minnesota has to do is get a first. Now, you still, I think, had all three of your timeouts, but one first down ends it. Even then, you got to punt it back deep if you go three and out, and then you're going to have like 50 seconds, 45 seconds left. So that was critical. That was critical, and it just didn't, you know, that didn't happen for the Vikings in that game. How do you feel about Dobbs as a quarterback going forward? Do you think that he has earned his keep yet, or is it an entire season kind of thing where you want to? Now, I don't know if he's the starter going forward for Minnesota. They have decisions to make with Kirk Cousins, but does he land somewhere where he can really potentially compete next summer, late summer, at training camp for a potential starting job?
Yeah, I think he's going to get a lot of looks in the offseason. His season has just been weird because he started with Arizona, and they were kind of just, we'll see what happens, and he played fairly well for a little bit and then kind of fell off towards the end, and then obviously the trade, and now you're going to see, can he continue to evolve and become that guy where it's not just crazy wild plays like we saw last night, but actually leading his team, a very talented Minnesota team, to a playoff push, possibly a division title. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think he has the talent in the right system. He can be effective. We'll see. I don't know what they're going to do with Kirk Cousins.
Well, and as you probably, you know, with the broadcast, how Chris Collinsworth 4 million times in the broadcast, that was the theme of the night, was how Dobbs does not understand the terminology, so how they have to relay that to him. So that's you can always tell what Chris Collinsworth grabs on to during the week of prep. And I'm not one of those naysayers against Collinsworth. I'm just saying that I've noticed that he will grab something that he catches in the week of prep, and that's what he's going to keep going back to. It was definitely Dobbs' communication back and forth between the coaching staff on play calls and what to do, and how he probably doesn't even know whatever guy's running. He's just going through his progressions, waiting until somebody's open. So you're not getting a lot of timing throws from him. So you wonder if getting more of those timing throw situations helps him or hurts him, because sometimes you bog guys down that are slinging it and going off script. You start shackling them with a script and more of a detailed plan that now you're expecting them to follow. You wonder.
It's the difference between 3 weeks of practice versus an entire offseason where you're working with the coordinator, working with your offense, practicing with your receivers, and creating that chemistry. I think it's a fun story to get around, and it's easy to rally around a guy like that, but it comes to a point where he's going to have to make plays.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked him. I liked what I saw. He had a lot of moments where I was like, wow.
His touchdown was cool.
Oh, it was a great play.
That one throw to Hockenson where he's like kind of falling and just throws it up.
Oh, yeah. And that was where Simmons kind of fell over or whatever. And like, I think even Tirico's like, there's nobody there. Oh, wait, there is. Which is why I think a DB wide receiver cam would be the next evolution of watching football. You know, we just have five cameras or whatever focused on whatever receivers are going out tight end, and we're going to follow them 10 yards past the line of scrimmage while what's going on in the trenches is going on in the trenches. But if you choose to, you can go to a Monday night game where it's got the main broadcast there and like two mini screens at the top. That's what I would like to see.
You can pitch that idea.
Better than the Manning cast. Listen, the Manning cast is funny. It's funny. It is. I don't watch it. I get it. Arnold Schwarzenegger had a donkey and he's feeding him watermelon.
Patrick Mahomes is talking about football.
Patrick Mahomes is predicting the play. Isn't that something? Yeah, it's funny that the guy that does this for a living and plays football every single day, all day, can predict plays. Neat.
Peyton had a pretty busy weekend. He was in Tennessee with Dolly.
Oh, was he?
Singing Rocky Top.
What was that for? The
Tennessee game.
Oh, okay. I thought he did awards or whatever.
And he's in Denver last night. So
he's been all over the place.
He's a guy.
I'm just saying, I'm not, like, it's funny, I get it, and I like Peyton Manning and Eli, I love them. I love anything they do. It's just, when I watch sports, I'm not in the casual, let's joke around mode. I want to just watch the game.
Don't send Brady jokes during football games.
Don't send me jokes.
You will not laugh at them.
don't do the whole, like, hey, we're going to just talk about stuff. Doggone it, Brady, did you see that play? That was a bad play. I'm not going to be that. I don't really converse during games. I tweet, but I don't converse. There's a difference. 49 minutes after the hour. What did we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 20th day of November? I learned that the Broncos are back. I don't know what that means. Russell Wilson is kind of back. Again, I don't know what that means. But, you know, they're in the playoff discussion. And I'm very excited about that. I'm very happy about it. Still don't understand what I saw, especially the last two games. But ultimately, I saw a win. Four wins in a row now for the Broncos. Angel, what'd you learn today?
A lesson to fans of the NFL. It's a week-to-week league. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Seen teams go 7-1 and then 1-7. It's wild. So week to week,
the narratives around these teams change so much through each quarter, each week, whatever. So yeah, just enjoy the ride as best you can. Tonight, big one. Eagles Chiefs going to be on KFKA tonight. Let's go Philly. Take them down, Angel. It's a tune we can all dance to. We need the Chiefs to lose.
Taylor Swift tune.
Yes, it's a Taylor Swift crappy tune we can all dance to. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.